Tired of spending so much time and money on vehicle maintenance and repairs? Make this October Cartober when you donate a car, truck, RV, or boat to KPBS. Go online to kpbs.org/car to make your donation. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Monday, October 20th. Thousands of people rallied downtown for No Kings protests. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A busy stretch of Interstate 5 ended up being closed for about 90 minutes Saturday. It happened while the Vice President and Defense Secretary attended a live fire event marking the Marine Corps' 250th birthday. Several senior officials delivered remarks, including the uniformed leaders of the Navy and Marine Corps and the Navy Secretary. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth touted his efforts to end military diversity programs.
The truth is, your diversity is not your strength. Never has been. Your strength is in your unity of purpose.
The amphibious assault demonstration that led to the shutdown of the 5 freeway was held several miles up the beach from the event venue and broadcast to the crowd via video. San Diego County Supervisor Tara Lawson Reamer is presenting a proposal aimed at fighting against the sale of counterfeit law enforcement gear. The goal? Prevent people from impersonating law enforcement while making it easier to identify real immigration agents. The council is expected to look into cease and desist orders and partnering on the state and federal level to curb sales of ice jackets, patches, and other items. The proposal also expresses support for legislation that requires immigration officers to clearly display identification in public. There's just really something special about the Embarcadero site near the Rady Shell at Jacobs Park. The water is right there, everything is picturesque, and it just feels like America's finest city. It is also home to the historic San Diego Rowing Club, and that club might just have a new tenant. The Port of San Diego's board has approved a tentative agreement to lease the space. The Rustic is expected to be a full-service restaurant and bar with indoor and outdoor seating and live music to enjoy the view while you dock and dine. They must work to obtain all necessary permits and complete a parking and management plan before officially getting the green light. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.
Thousands of San Diegans marched downtown on Saturday as part of nationwide No Kings protests against President Donald Trump. Reporter Katie Anastas says immigration and federal funding cuts were among their top concerns.
Show me what democracy looks like!
This is what democracy looks like!
Protesters gathered at Waterfront Park and Civic Center Plaza on Saturday. Their t-shirts and signs expressed support for immigrants, workers, and students. Leticia Rodriguez came from Chula Vista for the march. She held a sign that read, "Democracy is dying, and rest in peace, human rights."
There's people being taken without due process, people being sent, quote unquote, deported to countries where they don't belong.
Lawmakers and advocates have raised concerns about immigrants' access to fair trials. The Trump administration has fired federal immigration judges and replaced them with military attorneys. Other attendees brought up federal funding cuts and the government shutdown. Mark Grace works at a military base. He says he was furloughed on October 1st, and he's gone without a paycheck.
Luckily, my wife and I were in a stable financial situation, but many of people aren't, and those are the people that I'm worried about.
Several local nonprofits have banded together to support military families and federal workers during the government shutdown. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
The San Diego Airport Authority confirmed on Thursday that they are not playing a controversial video message from Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem. Jake Gatta has the details.
The San Diego Airport is one of several across the country choosing not to play a video from the Secretary of Homeland Security, blaming Democrats for the ongoing government shutdown. The Airport Authority said in a statement, San Diego International Airport continues to operate normally. Our focus remains on ensuring safe, efficient airport operations. In the video, Secretary Kristi Noem says it's TSA's top priority to ensure safe and efficient travel.
However, Democrats in Congress refuse to fund the federal government. And because of this, many of our operations are impacted, and most of our TSA employees are working without pay.
Experts say the video violates a law called the Hatch Act. It says executive branch employees cannot engage in or use government resources for political activity. Several other airports have confirmed they are not playing the video either, including in Chicago, where officials told NPR it would violate their policies against political advertising. And San Diego City Council member Marnie Von Wilpert, who is on the Airport Authority board, applauded the decision not to play the video.
I was very proud that San Diego stood with other airports around the country and has chosen not to play a video that is against the law. It's an unethical and factually incorrect, and instead we're focusing on travel safety, which we should be.
The federal government shutdown has lasted for 2 weeks so far. San Diego TSA employees say they're frustrated, but still doing their jobs. Jake Gatta, KPBS News.
Political stability is the bedrock of a healthy economy. The United States is inarguably struggling with both. Daniel Enemark is a chief economist at the San Diego Regional Policy and Innovation Center. He spoke with KPBS's Amita Sharma recently about the economic forecast for San Diego and the country.
So, Daniel, how would you characterize the state of the U.S. economy right now, as well as the San Diego economy?
The state of the U.S. economy is weakening. And it's actually been weakening for longer than we realized. The latest big revision, which is a typical process with the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they go back and they revise their numbers based on a more complete census of businesses and hiring and all that stuff. It was the largest negative revision in recent history. And so there were about 900,000 jobs less than we thought there were starting in April 2024, right? So this is not just the Trump economy. This is also the Biden economy. We simply haven't had as many new jobs created as we had hoped, as we had expected. And so we're already from a weaker position than we had realized, and it is getting worse month by month, unfortunately.
And how's that filtering down to San Diego?
Yeah, a lot of the factors that are driving negative developments in the economy hit San Diego especially hard. For example, the uncertainty around trade policy, right? These high tariffs. Well, in your typical Econ 101 example of trade, you think trade is country A sells apples to country B, and country B sells bananas to country A, right? Those are finished goods. But what we do in San Diego is more like co-production. In fact, the regional EDC has estimated that a typical component of a medical device might cross the border 6 or 8 times in the supply chain process, right? So when we are working so intimately with our partners in Mexico, trading components back and forth in a supply chain, we're really vulnerable to tariffs. And so a place that is engaged in as much trade as we are is perhaps more impacted than on average. Another area you look at AI is, you know, potentially undermining some entry-level jobs, particularly in the what you might call the innovation sector, which is a huge driver of San Diego's economy.
What worries you the most about where we might be headed?
I am concerned about job losses. I'm concerned about, you know, a lot of the biggest impact when you have a downturn in the economy. Everybody worries about a recession, right? The biggest negative impact of recession is not that a ton of people who didn't who would have had jobs don't have jobs. It's actually a pretty small portion of the workers who might be affected. It's that if you want to find a new job, it's much harder. And so when you lose your job, you spend more time unemployed. When you add to that our very high cost of living, that's a dangerous recipe. My greatest fear is that San Diego becomes Santa Barbara, a place that's really nice for rich people to live and where no one else can afford to be.
That was economist Daniel Enemark speaking with KPBS's Amita Sharma. Expect to see fewer plastic bags at the checkout line. Attorney General Rob Bonta says a state investigation found most plastic bags sold in California are not recyclable.
Despite claiming and labeling their bags as recyclable, plastic bag producers have sold billions of plastic carryout bags that aren't actually recyclable in California.
There are seven major plastic bag manufacturers selling in California. Four of them will no longer distribute their plastic bags following a settlement with the state. The companies will pay $1.7 million in civil penalties. Bonta is suing the other three plastic bag producers to stop their sales. Come January, all plastic bags will be banned in California. All right, SDNN listeners, it's time for another edition of our new segment, Pod Behind the Package, where we talk about standout stories from my colleagues that create or spark impact or inspiration. In the newsroom, we call our broadcast stories packages, and once per week, I bring in a reporter, anchor, or video journalist for a behind-the-scenes deep dive and informal chat about a standout package they put together. Joining me is environment reporter Tammy Murga. We're going to talk about her story under the headline that I invite you to visit on our website. Researchers link wildfire smoke to hundreds of excess deaths each year in San Diego County by 2050. Tammy, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thank you for being here. First of all, congrats is in order on your first full package here at KPBS. I wanted to begin with that. Talk to me first, before we even get into your package itself. What even first led you to be an environment reporter? Was it something that maybe an influence as a child?
Yeah, thank you for that question. That's a really great question. I mean, I remember a very specific TED Talk that I saw about environmental justice. And I think since there, it kind of opened my eyes about the importance of having like green spaces in your community. I grew up in an urban area, cities. So parks, being outdoors, having the accessibility was really important to me. And I just always have it in the back of my mind. But then coming to San Diego, I covered the Tijuana River sewage crisis very often. And hearing those people's stories, I think, was super important. And I just really kind of thought, I got to continue this. And there's obviously so many other issues, right, that we need to cover from a people perspective. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So you classify it as environmental justice, which I love. I think of like, did you watch like Captain Planet growing up? Like,
oh, yeah.
When we put our fists together.
Exactly.
And we saved the earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. That's you. That's you. Congrats. That's awesome. That's really cool. Your piece takes a unique spin on the usual wildfire report, right? At what point in the findings did you transition to more of a long-term impact versus just what usually is reported, which is like wildfire damage to property and or the people it harmed? Talk to me about when, either from the beginning, but when did your story take that spin to the long-term effects on wildfire smoke?
Yeah, so we kind of just came across this. We saw some of the headlines on it, and the headlines really looked at what it would look like on a nationwide basis, right? And every time there's data, we like to scrap, well, what does that mean for San Diego? And so we really started looking at like, what are those long-term effects? And we noticed that coupled with mortality rates, you have asthma rates as well. So we started digging a little bit at kind of trickling down from California to San Diego. And I think that's something that we didn't really focus too much in the story was what does it look like for California? Because we always try to localize it as much as possible. But that was a really interesting data point in the story, I'm sorry, in the data that, you know, said California is projected to have more excess deaths per year than any other state in the United States by 2050. I think that's just kind of pause and think about that, right? Why here in California more than other places? And really it has to do with, well, many reasons. The climate here, you know, with the drier, warmer temperatures we have, it's going to worsen with climate change if we don't do anything about it. You have the Santa Ana winds, fire suppression that has allowed for more plants to burn over the years. And of course, just people, right? People have a huge impact in starting, sparking fires without us even knowing it sometimes. So yeah, we looked at that first and then started kind of working our way down into what that means for San Diego specifically.
Talk to me about some of the voices and sources in your story. Carlos, Burke, do you find them one by one, or were these two people that you had identified like as experts in this space?
Yeah, so Marshall definitely stood out because he was one of the lead authors in the study, but I'm always just kind of scanning through the names. I'm like, there's got to be a San Diego connection. I feel like there's always a San Diego connection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? And there was. Carlos Gold is one of the authors as well. So I reached out to him, and he was really great to point us to that local data. So if we have a San Diego author, he's got to have some San Diego data. So that was really, he was really instrumental in bringing that laser focus to the area. And he also pointed us to Marshall, because Marshall is with Stanford University, and they produced in conjunction this really cool interactive map where you can look at how, over the past 5 years, how asthma rates have increased, mortality rates have increased, the more you've been exposed to wildfire smoke. So if you click on it, you can really see these like impressive spikes in 2007 and in 2020. And why those 2 years? I'll just focus in 2020 in particular. 2020 in California was a historic year with wildfires. We had the worst. If you look at Cal Fire's website, it'll tell you that. And that was also the case here in San Diego. We had a really huge fire up in East County. I think it burned more than 16,000 acres. But that year, you know, with those fires, in addition to all the fires we had up north, all of that smoke can travel for miles and miles and miles. So that can really affect people specifically who are who have COPD, who have asthma, who are more sensitive to things. And one of the doctors that we spoke to alluded to that, you know, people with these conditions, they just know the second they see an alert on their phone or in the news that there's a wildfire, they'll try to do anything they can to escape. And I think that's really important, right? These characters are telling us that even in areas that are lucky, like San Diego, will still feel the impacts of wildfire smoke.
Can you drop, yes, name drop that interactive map for our audience, where they can find it and so on? If you could just give us that exact info on that interactive map.
Absolutely. It is called as I mentioned, it's from Stanford University, and it's called the Environmental Hazard Adaption Atlas. And the website is adaptionatlas.org. So as I mentioned, it really gives a good breakdown of the last 5 years across the entire country. And it also breaks it down by census tract. So you can get down even deeper besides just the state and in the counties. So.
Absolutely. Was there any last tidbit, any extra shot, any story or point of view from someone that didn't make the piece from your piece?
Yeah, definitely. There was one part where Carlos Gold was telling me, like, what can we do, right? So I'll just say this, a quote, something that really stood out to me and did make it into the story was this quote that he said, you know, our findings are just forecasts. And what that means is they aren't telling the future. We have a role in shaping the future, right? Like, these are just projections of what can happen if wildfires get worse and we have more smoke exposure, but we can try to do our best to prevent as much as possible, right? But he said, you know, we can do, if accessible, right, get an EV car, an electric vehicle car, right? Consider that. We have to do a better job of control burns, and also even something as simple as like appreciating firefighters' work and being knowledgeable of what they have to do. Don't get in their way when they're fighting fires. Flying drones or being more conscious about all the actions that you do that can spark fires. So I think there's a lot of education still that has to be done, even if we live in a state that is very, very prone to wildfires.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tammy Murga here with us on the pod Behind the Package via San Diego News Now. Thank you for your time, Tammy.
Thank you so much for having me.
That is it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing and supporting public media. Have a great day.
Connected to the world around you, KPBS brings you trusted news, compelling stories, and in-depth reporting every day. Wherever life takes you, KPBS is here, on the radio, online, and on the go. Discover more at kpbs.org.